Welcome to Season 4 of E-Commerce Fastlane. This podcast helps resilient entrepreneurs thrive with Shopify. And now, on to Episode 197.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company. Powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
Now, this episode is brought to you by Attentive. Now, how do most innovative companies reach consumers? Well, meet Attentive, the text message solution trusted by innovative retailers and e-commerce brands like CB2, Coach, and thousands of Shopify brands. Now, on average, Attentive customers see a 25x ROI and an 18.5% of their online revenue is driven by SMS, so it's very compelling. You can grow your SMS list fast and engage with high-value mobile subscribers with personalized messages that exceed your performance marketing goals. Now, getting started is super easy. Attentive's best-in-class SMS marketing experts will help you quickly launch and scale your SMS program. Now, are you ready for SMS to become one of your top three revenue channels? You can learn more how to get started with your free trial by requesting a demo at attentivemobile.com. Well, hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. If you're an ambitious, lifelong learner, which you probably are because you're here today, you're definitely in the right place. Now, new episodes are available twice weekly with your favorite podcast players like Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and many more. You can also stream current episodes, including a very relevant back catalog. I think we're up to 196 or so episodes, just shy of 200 coming around the corner. So big milestone coming. But anyway, a lot of great partners in the Shopify ecosystem that I get to interview a few times a week. And if you go over to ecommercefastlane.com, you can have a look. There's some great offers, great problems that these partners are solving for the brands that we manage here at Shopify. Now, in today's episode, this guest, I've known Jamie for a very long time. I don't think we've ever met in person, but he is part of the partner and channel development team lead from Shopify. And what they are is they're a team that has built this program. It's called the Investor Partner Program. And it's an initiative. What it does is it simplifies and streamlines the process for investor-backed businesses to migrate to Shopify. And there's also more to it than that, not just the migration path. It's also to help you discover technologies and services from our partners, really to help you launch and optimize that business. So think about funding available for a brand and they're on a different platform, looking to migrate to Shopify, but want to have the tech stack and Shopify and potentially some partners for a development side. They have all of that and they've organized it all together. I think it's going to be an incredible podcast recording today. The reason why is because this is what I do at Shopify, is that I really try to help brands grow and scale and try to find the right solutions. This is a really interesting podcast recording, I believe, because I'm really going to help brands with these partners. You can improve efficiencies, you can grow revenue and lifetime loyalty. So all of that part is kind of what Jamie's working on with these VCs. So Jamie, welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Hey, Steve. Thanks again. Very grateful to be here today.
Yeah. My pleasure. You know, it's interesting. You've been the company for quite a while now. It was 7 some years, I believe. And you've been in a lot of really interesting roles in Shopify. This one is, I think, uniquely interesting because it's making even a wider impact based on kind of what you did leading up to where you are today. But let's just talk first about this investor partner program. We'll probably get into your past in a few minutes, but like, what is this program? Why did you build it? And what's the kind of uniqueness about it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So in short, I think we've built a program to manage or at least house a lot of the partnerships that we have with venture capital and private equity firms. Many of these firms invest in direct to consumer merchants. A lot of them, it is a significant portion of their portfolio. And, you know, through these investor partnerships, our goal is essentially to bring Shopify to more merchants faster. We do this by building, you know, brand awareness at the firm level. We meet with the firms on a regular basis to educate them around the power of Shopify's platform, the many different product lines that exist within Shopify, whether it's Shopify Payments or Shopify Fulfillment or even the retail side of the house. And so it's really educating those firms and then actually, you know, accelerating merchant acquisition and growth on Shopify's platform. And to date, we work with approximately about 250 firms globally. So it's grown in scale over the last couple of years.
Wow. I had no idea it was that many firms. I know as of late, I've seen a lot of multi-brand contracts come through that I know are VC backed. And it's so interesting how some of them, they have kind of in-house talent. It's just part of their organization. It's part of their equity position in the company where they bring on subject matter experts internally to help or co-help run and manage the business. So I think it's quite interesting. I also see a lot of brands where they just keep buying up direct to consumer because there's almost technology out there to kind of understand the data and going, okay, or even companies that are on Amazon, they're like, interesting, they're doing so well on Amazon. I wonder if a direct-to-consumer version of that would be great. And so there's a lot of great software and tools out there. And I just see all the excitement that's happening right now in direct-to-consumer.
Definitely. Yeah, I think a lot of the investment firms that we have been working with over the last couple of years either started with in-house talent, you know, hiring, you know, operators or folks who are really, really well-versed in the technology space, or some of them are starting to do that, right? They're starting to recognize that an e-commerce tech stack is very, very important, and not just during the due diligence phase, but also sort of post-acquisition, right? And it's one of those levers that they can pull to create value within their portfolio. And so, you know, our team specifically works generally with those operating teams, but we're starting to recognize that they're definitely bolstering their tech talent internally.
Love it. So let's talk about your career at Shopify. I alluded to the fact that I believe you're, I don't know, shy 7 years, but I've been here just shy of five, believe it or not. So it's just pretty wild. Pretty wild. I was in the vault recently looking to see how many people were hired after me. It's just unbelievable. And it must be just wild for you. So let's hear your story about the last 6-7 years with Shopify.
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in Ottawa, where Shopify is headquartered. And I always wanted to make that transition into tech. And I remember, you know, seeing Shopify's growth from the sidelines and thinking, maybe I should apply. And I actually applied to the talent acquisition. It was a recruiter role and joined them about 7 years ago, based out of Ottawa. And at that point, Shopify Plus was really just an idea. But one of my first sort of jobs or tasks was, hey, we're looking to scale this thing up, but we need salespeople to do it. And so we started this search for, I remember it was called the First Five, and it was looking at the first five salespeople that would work with Lauren Paddleford. So I worked really closely with him in terms of, you know, finding these sales reps. And, you know, fast forward a couple of years, we scaled it from about five people to 500. And I mostly helped the recruitment on the sales, partnerships, and solutions engineering teams at Shopify. So it's been a wild ride. And then it was early 2018 that I decided to switch over to the partner and channels team under Jordan Knapp. And the rest is history.
Wow, this is amazing. So the next question I usually ask, and it's kind of a more, it's interesting that I'm asking you this question about what uniquely positions you, because I know to get a job in Shopify, there's a very interesting process with a life story and lots of interesting things that TA needs to think about and consider when they're taking on a new employee. So you obviously have a trust battery that's very high and you're doing a lot of great work. And there's no doubt about it, being with the company this long and, you know, being a lead now with this particular program. But just like, what do you believe positions you uniquely just to lead the team of people to build this program? Like, I think about words like, where the desire come from? And did the expertise just come over time, just being in the ecosystem? Just would love to hear it in your own words about how did you get here? You know,
oftentimes you hear people talk about internal moving at Shopify as a bit of a jungle gym. I think they definitely took a bit of a gamble on me, right? Coming from the talent acquisition team into a partners team and slash sales. But I do think that working on the talent acquisition team for that amount of time, I'd really honed the skill of not being afraid to reach out to people cold, you know, not afraid of meeting strangers. Well, at the same time, I think being able to tell Shopify's story effectively. And with a lot of these investment groups, when we first started off, I mean, we had literally no idea how we were going to do this, right? So it became, let's get a list of firms that are investing in direct consumer merchants. Let's start knocking at their door or cold calling them or cold emailing them and just getting a feel for what sort of challenges are they facing with their portfolio. And then actually telling the Shopify story to say, maybe this platform is really well positioned, and, you know, gaining their trust from there and meeting all the new folks, meeting them in person at several events and just kind of building the trust that way. And then actually meeting their portfolio companies and sort of working opportunistically through their portfolio to get a lot of their portfolio companies onto Shopify or the folks that were already on the platform to actually optimize by leveraging our service partners or leveraging our technology partners as well.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Now, talking about our technology partners, kind of near and dear to my heart, you know, just because that's the premise of the show really is to interview founders that are creating some great software to kind of complement Shopify. I mean, I use the term, and I'm not sure if it's a hard and fast rule, but Shopify does 80% of commerce very well with their platform, but it's that extra 20%, I believe, gets filled in based on projects and functionality that we're not working on or will never work on, but we have a partner ecosystem to kind of help fill in a lot of those gaps to make a true tech stack that brands need, wherever that is, loyalty and email and warehouse management systems and things. There's a lot of stuff. So let's talk about the vetting process, because I think it's interesting to me. You have a list of recommended technology partners. I think you also have I haven't seen that one, but there's another list available of recommended agency or development partners. I'd even go down the term of maybe even thinking about integrators and platform connectors too. I think is another interesting part of the puzzle here of migrating people over versus maybe the development in the UX side. And then there's strictly the SaaS side of connecting to Shopify with a tool that does something to help with marketing. So how do you vet these solutions and make some final decisions that, hey, if a venture-backed company wants to come on board, that you're able to present some options in the overall tech stack that's available?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think I might take a step back just in terms of positioning Shopify's platform and then actually getting into how we started looping in technology partners. And I think, you know, for one, I think Shopify's platform fits really well into most investment philosophies. You know, whether they're a venture capital firm investing in a high-growth brand, or they're a private equity company that's acquired a legacy brand that's looking to invest in their online channel for the first time. I think Shopify, you know, the fact that we are a highly scalable, low maintenance, relatively cost-effective platform, I think positioned us really, really well. And then over time, I think a lot of these investment firms started to leverage Shopify as almost the kind of standard whenever they made an investment in a direct-to-consumer business. It was, hey, we're making an investment in this company and we want them to be on Shopify, kind of full stop. And I think once they started standardizing onto Shopify, it became, okay, well, how do we start optimizing on this, right? And that's really where our technology partners, as you mentioned, I mean, getting that other 20% gap filled, and that's where they came into play. And so the importance of that Plus Certified App Partner program was immense for us. And it was working really closely with Matt O'Leary, who I know has been interviewed on your podcast mm-hmm. in the past.
Yeah.
And it was working with their team to figure out, okay, like who are the players in the Plus Certified App program? You know, what is their offering? And then actually, you know, meeting with our investment firms and merchants as well to say, you know, who or what sort of technologies should we be considering in this sort of commerce package that we were going to put together. And so with the help of my colleague, Tyler Pratt, we started interviewing a lot of these technology partners, sort of explaining, you know, this is the audience that we're working with. And would they be willing to join this commerce package? And that's really where things kicked off. And fast forward a couple of months and we had this kind of almost like D2C playbook that we would share with investment firms to say, mm-hmm. great, you're on Shopify and here's kind of a full suite of technology partners that can really support their growth. Right now, I think the most up-to-date copy has about 25, potentially 30 technology partners that span from marketing automation to subscriptions. And so really working with those technology partners, introducing them to firms. And I think, you know, the growth of Shopify is important, of course, but I think the ethos of Shopify has always been to support our partner ecosystem. And I think this really plays well into both.
Yeah, no, I love that part. On my wall, I have quite a few printouts and things that I keep. One is like, I'm going to call it the e-commerce enablement kind of marketplace. I also have one like, you know, the e-commerce technology stack. You have an older one from Shopify Plus, the technology ecosystem. And it's so interesting, some of the areas that you really can dig into from, you know, marketing and customer communication. And there's the search and discovery, and there's the analytics and, you know, social shopping, post-purchase experience. I'm thinking personalization, logistics, reviews, loyalty, even going down the headless road. If you want to use our storefront API and truly go headless, customer support, there's a lot of really interesting areas. And I've seen a deck that you have put together that I guess goes to the VCs and shows all the different options in there of who you're recommending. And I mean, there's 62, I believe, as of today's recording, certified app partners, but you've got 25 very highly skilled, amazing technology partners that I know I recommend. I've interviewed every single one of them on this podcast, right? They're just crushing it and doing some really great work for the brands that we manage.
That's awesome. One sort of unexpected win from this was that a lot of those tech partners that we included in the commerce package started seeing a lot of opportunities coming from it, and they decided to spin up their own teams that are also looking at this investor space. So that was always fun. And we always meet with them, and you know, what's a win for them is a win for us. So it's been great for all parties.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's great. So like, why would a venture-backed company, I mean, I'm going to be devil's advocate for a minute, but like, why would somebody want to get involved in this investor partner program, maybe versus maybe going directly to an agency and have them develop the brand and assist in the vetting process of tech partners? Or maybe they're a more seasoned operator, so they kind of get it. Maybe they're on Magento right now and they're looking to migrate over and they're like, but I kind of get what I'm pretty sure I know what I need. Just curious as to why one would pick one over the other and kind of what's the nuances between either or.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think the main value out of our program is that we sort of sourced a lot of really valuable preferred commercial terms from those top technology partners that firms can take and then pass them on to portfolio companies. But in addition, you know, I think what we've done as well is reduce a lot of that decision fatigue, right, that can stem from evaluating technologies or service partners. Ultimately, it really does come down to how actively involved an investment firm is in a day-to-day operations. You know, we work with firms of all kind of shapes and sizes. There are some that are a little bit more passive. It's, you know, here's the check and we'll sort of guide things from the sidelines. And there are others that get really, really into the day-to-day operations. And oftentimes those portfolio companies will ask for recommendations from those investment firms. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we've positioned Shopify appropriately within those firms, oftentimes, you know, they'll be forwarding these merchants directly to me saying, you know, hey, X merchant is looking at Shopify. They just want to get, you know, have you give it a first pass, a first glance, just to make sure that it is a fit. And on the flip side, I mean, some of them want to go, as you mentioned, directly right to a service partner, and we're happy to make those recommendations as well. And so we work with a number of really great Shopify Plus agencies, and you know, there are times that they'll even support due diligence on a business to say, what would it take to get someone on a competing platform onto Shopify Plus and actually work with an agency to determine, you know, what would the timeline, what would the budget look like? And so I don't necessarily see them as sort of competing workflows, but almost working in tandem with one another.
Right. In the end of the day, they're still choosing Shopify Plus as their platform of choice. It's just a matter of the route that how you get there. Either use the program or the pre-vetted. And I know you have some commercial terms and things that are interesting as packages for brands that want to get up and running quickly and not a lot of capital outlay or some offers and things. So I think that's interesting that you have that available to those in the right place at the right time, which is maybe different than the commercial terms that could happen directly through Shopify Plus agencies.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
So as you know, Q4, the holiday season is definitely just around the corner. Is there time, I know it's a loaded question probably, but is there time for a VC-backed brand to replatform or to upgrade to Shopify Plus today? Because I'm always worried about code freeze. I'm worried about a lot of different things. And BFCM is so close, we don't want to kind of ruffle too many feathers. But then on the flip side, is there an opportunity here for a go-to-market quickly after people are listening to this episode?
Yeah, historically, and I'm sure as you know, we've witnessed a lot of merchants upgrading from Shopify Core to Shopify Plus, almost right in around this time, right before BFCM or the holidays, just to make sure that they are sort of taking advantage of that enterprise tooling like Shopify Flow or Shopify Launchpad and really just make the most of that holiday shopping. And I do expect that trend to probably continue this year. On the other hand, though, you know, you do have folks migrating from a competing platform, which is a massive decision. It can be a little bit trickier just based on the technical requirements. So that said, like, I don't think there's a perfect time like ever to migrate. You know, it's tough to kind of time it perfectly, but we always just want to make sure that the merchant is taking the time to properly evaluate our platform and, you know, meet the right service partners, meet the right technology partners. And I do think that our program allows for firms and merchants to make that informed decision. And hopefully, ultimately, we do want it to come in at a lower total cost of ownership. So that's where I would leave that question. But hopefully that answers it appropriately.
Yeah, definitely. I would add to that, too, that I think depending on the internal talent, because sometimes you have talent either in the organization already, your front-end developers and stuff already have a lot of Shopify skill sets. That's just kind of how they were hired. And maybe they're on a competing platform, but they have Shopify Liquid kind of experience. And I think that helps go to market quickly. There's also some really amazing partners that are scalable and ready right now for like the data migration component. I mean, I know we have launch engineers and solution engineers internally that can help with a lot of that sort of work, at least set them in the right direction. I'd also would say that my opinion is, because I've heard the horror stories, and you know them all, of major, major direct-to-consumer brands that were on Shopify, then they went off of Shopify, and then BFCM hit, then their website crashed, and big old nightmare, and then they came back to Shopify. This happens a lot where there's brands, they finally realize, most brands in North America, I mean worldwide, but really in the US, because that's where BFCM is the largest, but they know that Shopify Plus and Shopify in general is the most stable platform that can handle the traffic. We have the biggest, baddest brands in the world, and the biggest flash sellers in the world are on our platform, and it works. So my thought, and I agree with what you're saying, it really depends. It's maybe if the agency partner has time available right now, or if you have internal talent. But the other option is that with this new online store 2.0, this new framework we have now for themes and how easy it is to get up and running, all the premium theme developers out there, this is the first year in 3 years we've just opened up the theme store. It's been closed with about five or six kind of premium theme developers and then all the ones that we built. And that's all that's been in the store for the last 3 years. It's open now, as you know, because of this online store 2.0, this more drag and drop sections everywhere, we're calling it. And so I'd suggest as one option, if you're unhappy being on WooCommerce or BigCommerce or Magento or whatever you're doing and you want to get on Shopify, the other option would be to find a premium theme. They're like $300. You slightly reskin that, do a data import. If there's some other connections and things that you need to think about, there's partners right now that I know could help. If it's platform partners, connect to a 3PL, getting connected over to your ERP, getting connected to some kind of financial systems if you have already that. Those things can work. So I'm just gonna throw it out there. I've seen this happen even with brands that are existing in my book of business, and they look to add another one on. They're like, well, it's getting kind of close to BFCM. I'm like, no, it's not. Here's one way of doing an MVP and getting up and running quickly with a premium, slick, new online store 2.0 format, and then getting access to all the Shopify features, Shopify payment, Shop Pay installments, getting the Shop app. There's so many like conversion benefits of being on Shopify. So that's my rant for today.
No, you're 100% right. Shopify is really uniquely positioned in the fact that, you know, you can literally build and get live within, in some cases, a couple of days, mm-hmm. and really to spin that up for BFCM. And oftentimes, you know, I think my team's busiest time is right after BFCM, as you mentioned, because they're having trouble with their current e-com platform, yes. and they're looking to migrate. Yeah. And sometimes BFCM can sort of be that tipping point, right? Where they're like, no, you know, we can't do this again. We need to move to Shopify. And so we're always happy to field those calls as well.
Yeah. I'm going to see if I can find that exact story. I want to see if it's public knowledge or not about the train wreck. If it's publicly available on Shopify's website about the brand that here, back and forth, and this and that, now they're just like a diehard fan. I know who they are, but I'll make sure it's public. And then if it is, I'm going to post it.
Yeah, please share.
So we all love stories. I mean, that's just kind of the human nature of us. And, you know, I think, you know, we're entrepreneurs, marketers, lots of people listening today. And I think it's this education and the inspiration from these stories, I think really helps motivate all of us. And so hopefully I don't throw you under the bus too much here, but it'd be nice if you could, I don't know, just share a journey of a Shopify brand or a Plus brand that I guess was introduced to your program, this investor partner program. And, you know, where were they before they introduced to you? And then maybe their journey now on Shopify Plus, if that's a story you can share.
Yeah, absolutely. We love sharing these stories, especially internally, but also externally. And so one that definitely comes to mind, we've been working really closely with Birch Hill Equity Partners, which is based out of Toronto. And given the fact that I was based out of Toronto when I first launched this program, I thought, why not start with the firms that are in my backyard? And so we reached out to the operating team on that side, met with their team. It actually became one of those situations where they didn't really know how far Shopify Plus had moved up market, right? We were still sort of myth busting around. We're not just for SMBs, we're also for the enterprise. Right. And I think after educating their team on sort of how far we moved up market and sort of where they could save money and how they could scale their business, businesses, they started sort of working opportunistically through the portfolio. And one of those opportunities was Mastermind Toys, which is a Canadian success story, and I'm sure you're aware of them.
Yeah, young kids, definitely not there.
They were looking to migrate away from sort of homegrown Order Dynamics, I believe is the platform that they're on.
Oh, okay.
And they were evaluating whether Shopify Plus could be the fit for them. And so it was working with, you know, Birchill's team, working with Mastermind's team. We ended up looping in Ted Starkman from Stream Commerce, who's amazing to work with. And we actually went on site, met with their team, you know, got a really good understanding of their requirements, specifically their technical requirements. And, you know, right off the bat, I thought, you know, this could be the perfect win for Shopify, just based on challenges that they were looking to solve. And ultimately, they ended up choosing Shopify Plus, which was great. And they were able to work with Stream's team and really get live and lower that total cost of ownership. But I think the biggest win was the fact that they were able to eliminate a lot of that technical debt that they had accumulated over the years and refocus those resources towards other revenue generating activities, which is a common story that we do see with a lot of Shopify merchants. And today, if you go on there now, I mean, their site looks amazing. And from what I gather, has been performing really well. And our marketing team even produced a blog post to document their success story. And so it's well known internally. And hopefully, you know, we can share that story a little bit more externally as well.
Absolutely. I'll see if I can find that link again. It'll be in the show notes for the Mastermind Toys. I just went to their website recently and actually I just bought stuff for two birthdays coming up, a little bit of Christmas stuff. Other thing that's interesting, my wife always makes a great comment. She can always tell when a site is powered by Shopify because she just is like addicted to Shop Pay. Just makes it so easy because, you know, the logged in experience, it's one button checkout, 6-digit code from a text message and boom, it's done. And pretty amazing. And that's how Mastermind Toys works. Like, yes. She didn't realize until she's, Steve, did you know Mastermind Toys is actually on Shopify? And I go, well, yes, I did. I did know that.
Yeah, I don't know that the Shop Pay tooling is almost dangerously simple to purchase online.
Yeah, you got it. So we are nearing the end of the show for today, but I just want to thank you for sharing kind of what you're building here right now. And it's obviously you're having a lot of impact with this new program, but just wonder if you have any insights or any takeaways. Typically the show is more the entrepreneurs listening, the marketing teams listening, but obviously this is going to cast a little bit of a wider net to other brands that are looking for funding, you know, maybe make themselves available to VCs, you know, and a lot of people are on that fundraising trail right now saying, hey, yes, there's Shopify capital and yes, there's other, you know, third-party accesses to funds for sure. But the other option is that, you know, maybe there's a VC opportunity. It's not always, deal flow doesn't always have to come from them to the merchant. It can be the other way around. Those are listening today, guaranteed. And so just wanted to see if you had anything you could throw into an audiogram today about kind of like, what is the takeaway for VCs or any syndicates that might be listening today?
Yeah, definitely. I'll start off on the merchant side. I think for them, you know, capital can oftentimes be rocket fuel. A lot of merchants that we interact on a daily basis have experienced rapid growth, or in some cases have faced really significant headwinds, especially over the past year. But in terms of supporting their goals, I think a lot of merchants do turn to various forms of fundraising. And as you mentioned, some of them go the route of Shopify Capital, which could be the perfect fit. But in other cases, investment firms, they turn to them to accelerate their growth or, you know, steer them through a period of transition. And so with that in mind, I think our team's goal is to ensure that these investment groups are equipped with the right tools and expertise surrounding Shopify. And, you know, oftentimes more importantly, equipped to understand our ecosystem to really support, you know, informed decision-making and the growth of their portfolio companies. And I think building this program has really achieved both of those goals. And we continue to loop in other partners and loop in other product lines across Shopify.
Yeah, love it, love it, love it. So where can people go to learn more about the products and the services that you're recommending in this investor partner program?
Yeah, absolutely. We actually recently, in the past, I think it was last week, we launched our landing page with the help of our marketing team. So if the marketing team is listening, thank you very much for your support in building this. So it's www.shopify.com/investor-partner-program. And you'll be able to find all the information and all of the offerings on there.
Beautiful. I'll have that in the show notes for a direct link to that so you can see more of the details and the partners and the program and how it all works. Is there any other direct connections to you at all?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're looking to learn a little bit more, I'm always open to chatting, and shoot me an email at jamie.oliver@shopify.com.
Okay, in the show notes for sure. That'll also be added there. Well, I just wanted to thank you from one shop of folk to another. Thank you for taking time today, sharing just the details of this amazing program. Like, I've been following the sidelines. I've been following this project for quite a while. I was excited to see version one of a deck coming out, and then this really, really, really polished one came out recently. Now the landing page, and just like, wow, because this is in my wheelhouse. I need to interview these partners. Just for my own learnings, and just want to thank you for putting all this together and, you know, helping both brands and helping these venture-backed VCs and syndicates and things that are out there, just helping them navigate this and get into some good terms with Shopify and the partners and the ecosystem. So I think it's great. And just, you know, once again, thanks so much for coming on the show. And just, I wish these VC-backed merchants incredible growth and success, all thanks to your program.
Well, thank you, Steve. It's always great to chat with other Shopify folk. And yeah, it was my pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Have yourself a great day. Now, this episode was brought to you by Attentive, a personalized text message solution trusted by innovative brands like CB2, Coach, and thousands of Shopify brands. Now, as I mentioned, on average, Attentive customers see a 25x ROI, and over 18% of their online revenue is driven by SMS. Now, are you ready for SMS to become one of your top revenue channels? You can learn more how to get started and get your free trial by requesting a demo at attentivemobile.com. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of eCommerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.